Welcome back to the 13th edition of the Weekend Windup. Woo-hoo! I'm Mitchell Roy, your host this week, and cue the music.
Back in town, the boys are back in town.
That's right, the boys are back, and we're looking for glory.
It's been a while.
Man,
a little Dropkick Murphys reference for all you Sox fans out there.
It feels good to be back.
All right, so we're shipping up to the studio with Matt, Manny, Flanny for the first time in 3 weeks.
5 weeks.
5 weeks?
Like, if you think about it, like the actual good show, I'm saying 5 weeks.
5 weeks.
Yeah. Because you guys have been gone.
There you go. All right.
Still
so we
forever
are back.
The best show, week seven.
Week seven.
Week seven will forever
okay.
be the best show.
That's irrelevant. We are back and better than ever. This is now going to be the best show. With a show going back to our roots. We got Hardo's. We got Jerry's. We get sportsmen, maybe even a few roasts of Flanny, you know, just getting back to what
Typical.
We do best.
Yeah, this is the grassroots right here. This is a grassroots campaign by the Weekend Windup.
You
heard it here first.
So stick around for the return of the bad boys to New Hampshire's best hour in sports radio.
We're back, baby.
All right, so we're going to move right into the discussion here. So you missed last week. We didn't have a show. Sorry to all our award-winning listeners.
Boo, Mitchell.
We were all in various different places. Matt, you want to kick us off? Where were you last week?
I was in the Confederacy, mostly. Most of the time I was in the Confederacy. Sometimes I was in the Union. I was on border state sometimes. Went to the Underground Railroad. I went to the White House of the Confederacy. I went to many different places.
And you're now a supporter of the Confederate States of America?
No, that's just my... I've picked
he
up an accent.
He just now is?
I've picked up an accent as I've gone along. So that's how it sounds.
That's good, Manny. You had quite the adventure last week. Where were you?
I was in Cali, man. That's all I gotta say.
Surf's up, bro. Totally rad. Flan?
Are we doing accents for wherever we were?
Yeah. Let's hear it. To keep it.
I was in New York. I was checking out Fathom.
Fathom?
Fathom.
Fathom. Terrible
news
school.
I don't know how to do a New York accent because I'm a Boston boy. But yeah, checking out Fathom. So.
Cool.
Mitch, where were you?
I was whitewater rafting in 35 degree water
with
in
my
Maine.
Girl.
Yeah, with Am. Yeah, we had a great time. Told a lot of fun stories. Some you might not want to know about, Jack. But yeah, it was a good time. All right, so let's move into the discussion here. We got Hardos. Matt, kick us off with your Hardo.
My Hardo is kind of mean. It's a little mean. 101-year-old wins a senior world record for the 100-meter dash. Didn't even know 101-year-olds existed, first of all. Also, how do they run?
Hold on. You missed an important part.
She's the only one that was in the race.
Right.
First of all, Matt, you got to get your content right. So she's from India. She was, and it's in Australia, an open race.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it was.
Yeah.
I saw it a couple times. And she was the only one who ran in the 100-plus race. And she didn't run. I'd give her a speed walk at best. But she is 101 years old, and she's exercising, Matt, and you're pooping on her right now. That's my problem.
My thing is, they probably have it all mixed up. She's probably not 100. They use the metric system over there. You never know.
She's not 100. She's 101.
She's 101.
101.
Boo,
so,
Matt.
All right, so
boo,
you
Matt.
Convert that in the metric
Orioles
system.
Orioles hat. Boo.
Listen, I got to... All right. Hot take. I don't have a problem with her running in the race. I think that's awesome that she's exercising. She's 101. The Hardo move here is that she was the only one in it.
They were talking about how she's racked up 13 gold medals. Well, if she's the only one in the race,
right.
She's going to win.
Right.
See, everyone gets a trophy nowadays. That's the mentality.
Well, no, you know what?
It was
she's smart. She's smart. She's a competitive person. She wanted to win, so she looked for an event that nobody else was in.
I mean, Matt,
she's racking up the hardware.
Can you say she's gonna pass away one day, and she's going to have like 16 gold medals?
Can you
say you're going to have 16 gold medals? In your life?
Honestly, I don't know yet, but that's irrelevant because if I were to do a race, I'd do it with competition. Anyways, Mitch, what's your Hardo?
My Hardo? All right. This is the classic Hardo. He's definitely been on Hardo before. LeBron James.
LeBron James.
Yeah.
Matt's a huge LeBron James fan.
No,
right?
He's not.
Or only
maybe
only
he
when he's
I'm
winning.
Sure he is.
Yeah, sometimes.
Only when he's winning. You're right.
Yeah.
So LeBron, every year, every playoffs, launches his campaign, what he calls Zero Dark 30-23 campaign.
Boo.
Boo, LeBron.
Like, first of all, Hardo name, take off the 30 and just call it Zero Dark 23. Like, you don't need the 30 there. That has nothing to do with you. Don't need it.
Does 23 have to do with
Yeah, that's
too?
His number. Oh, boy.
Good job.
Oh, boy.
I thought that was Michael
Jordan. This is a sports show.
It's also his.
This is a sports show.
All right. Hardo move here, though. So his Zero Dark 30-23 campaign is he stays off all social media. Doesn't go on it during the playoffs. So instead, what he's having his teammates record him in the gym.
I saw him dancing in short shorts.
Yeah, saying all these like, oh, look at the Hulk. Look at this weird exercise he's doing. And then he's like, so he's telling his teammates to, yo, post this up with me on Instagram. Make sure people know I'm lifting still. Just in case.
So is he giving out his password? Is he giving out his password? Or is he on his phone?
No, no,
he's on his phone.
It's not on his Instagram. It's on their Instagrams, but it's videos of him lifting on their Instagrams.
Wow,
so he's still technically not using social media, but he's all over the place.
Indirectly.
Yeah.
LeBron James is pulling Alex A. bad moves in the gym.
Oh, yeah.
Like, even up at that level.
Like, he's probably, yo, like, yo, send this to some
chick. I mean, who works out shirtless in short shorts?
Yeah.
Have you not?
I have, but we're talking
hardos.
About...
Hardos do. You're a little bit of a hardo.
But I'm a hardo.
He's a jumbo.
That too. Matt. Not Matt. Manny. Give us your hardo.
How could you get us confused?
All right, so my hardos, we can use a little explanation. So coming up in June, we have the MLB draft, the 2017 MLB draft. And one of the top prospects comes out of Notre Dame High School in California. His name's Hunter Green.
Sports Illustrated.
Just recently was on Cover Sports Illustrated. There's a lot of talk around him. He's a superstar. He knows he's a superstar. I mean, he throws 100 miles an hour. Wow. He hits absolute bombs. They're considering him to be a possible two-way player in the MLB, which is unheard of. But so recently...
What?
So he's supposed to be... Yeah.
Two-way?
Two-way. Yeah. They're considering him pitching and playing the field. But recently...
Oh God.
He's projected the one overall. The Twins have the first pick. And he's from Notre Dame High School, I think. It's Southern California. It's near San Diego. And San Diego has the third pick. So apparently him and his family are trying to sway his draft so that he can get the third pick so he can stay in San Diego. So recently, he's now not pitching for the rest of the high school season because he thinks that'll lower his draft class to the third spot if he's just a hitter. And he's been pushing and shifting all of these agents and stuff to get him to try and get him in the third round pick. I mean, that's just a hard-o move because I think you should take the pride of being the first overall pick, no matter where it is, and not try and shift the... That's a Moscow Matt thing to do. You're trying to change the system to get out of the first round pick.
Another hard-o, Lonzo Ball, said the same thing. He would rather play for the Lakers than be the first overall pick.
I mean, in a way, it's sports. You have a sportsman in a hard-o because he's given back. He wants to play for his hometown. You can respect that.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of guys from New England that won't sign unless they go to the Sox.
I can't believe
he'd
want to play for the Padres, though.
Yeah, boo.
Like, who would want to play for the Padres?
Well, he probably thinks that he can turn the whole organization around.
I mean, he's a fan of himself, big-time fan of himself. Really, he thinks... I mean, he's good. He's allowed to do that, but
yeah,
he thinks he's the next Babe Ruth. So there's that.
Yeah, well, I mean...
I mean, he might be if what you're describing is accurate.
Are there any Tufts jumbos in the draft class this year?
Nope.
Ah, bummer.
Boo.
Maybe next year.
I mean, there's kids that might get drafted, but they're no Hunter Greens.
Oh. All right, Flan, you got a good hardo. Let's hear it.
Woo!
Yeah, best hardo ever. My favorite hardo.
All-time hardo.
I want to say this has got to be his fifth time as a recurring hardo.
Or Jerry. He's on Jerry a lot.
Yeah, he's just popular. Matt...
We love him.
But this is a good hardo. Putting out his best foot forward for Bedford High School.
Yeah, managing the girls' lacrosse team. So he's hanging out with 40-plus girls every single day.
I went to the Beach Plum today. Had a good meal. Ate on the bus.
Sat with some girls?
No, I sat alone.
Matt, come on.
Well, yeah, you're acting like I didn't talk or anything. Of course I talked, but I had the seat to myself.
Oh, he's talking on the bus.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah.
No, Matt doesn't let anybody sit with him.
No.
No,
space. All the girls want to sit with him, but he says no.
What about at the Beach Plum? Did you sit with anyone at the Beach Plum?
We didn't have time. I was last in line at the Beach Plum, and I just got out, got on the bus. I was the last one on the bus. I was like, all right, let's go for it, right? I mean, nothing wrong with that.
So since you're such a hardo, do you want to outline the life of a girls' lacrosse manager?
Well, two different lives. It's kind of a split personality.
Living a double life.
Yeah, I'm kind of living a double life. So basically, home games and away games are completely different. Home games, I only have to do varsity. Away games, I have to do varsity and JV. So it's like a quite the adventure. It's fun. I like lacrosse now. I can't say I liked it before, but now I do.
Get out of the studio right now for saying that comment.
Only leave. Girls lacrosse.
Bad radio.
Only girls lacrosse.
I'll respect that comment. That's
because there was a boys lacrosse game before one of our games. I'm talking as if I'm on the team, which is not true. But one of the girls' lacrosse games, completely different game. Like the way that things are just set, it just looks like everyone's just out to hit each other. But I feel like girls' lacrosse has a lot of strategy. you know, I think I like it. I don't know. Don't hate on me for liking it.
I think Matt's sounding like the best manager in the school right now.
I mean, I give it to him.
Most dedicated by
Matt,
far.
He's a good guy. And I think he brings a lot to the table for the manager.
He knows his role as a manager. Yeah.
Unlike some other people.
We'll get to this topic later on in the show. Let's move it on here. Jerry of the Week. Manny, you got a good Jerry. Let's hear it.
So, my Jerry, recently a video surfaced where there's a few guys just playing some backyard wiffle ball, you know, the usual Sunday afternoon activity, except they spiced it up a little bit. Instead of using a baseball, they were shooting firecrackers and trying to hit the firecrackers. So, now, I don't know what kind of idiots these guys were, but obviously some big Jerrys. So, you know, they got they shoot the first one off, strike one, guy can't hit it. Shoot the second one off, she, like, fouls it off or something. Third pitch, someone loses control of the firecracker.
Boom.
Hits the guy in the face.
Right in the face.
Boom. Gone forever.
Did he actually die?
No.
I don't know if he
died. I don't think he died. He definitely blinded.
But he's got some serious issues. And so if that's not a Jerry, I don't know what is, because I don't know what idiots are playing wiffle ball with fireworks.
It's, it's kind of hard on move, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they were probably, let's be honest here, they're probably not sober. If I had to guess. I mean, I can't imagine anybody in their right mind would want to play
or
think playing wiffle ball with fireworks is a good idea.
Hey, some people are crazy and do funny things in their right mind.
This is just, like, stupid, though. Like, it's not even funny. I mean, it was funny. Actually, it was hilarious. But not for the guy who watched the firework or the guy who took the firework in the
people
face.
People are crazy nowadays. They'll do anything for a world star.
That's a good point.
Know? I mean, they got on Barstool.
Yeah, they're pretty viral.
There you go.
All right, Matt, you got a good Jerry. Let's hear it.
So my Jerry is the Boston Globe. I'm surprised I haven't been on here before, honestly.
I know.
That's just fitting theme of the weekend. Hey, no politics. Anyway, so the Boston Globe, they accused local star Tom Brady. How can you hate Tom Brady, first of all?
Okay, continue.
Regardless, they criticized him of taking money from the charity, but little did they know. Well, they knew it. They definitely knew it.
Yeah.
But they're out here putting fake stories out of him saying he's just taking it for himself when he gave it back to other charities. You put too much in his charity. Sometimes if you're a big charity guy, you can't just put everything in one. You got to kind of spread it out a little bit. Not spread the wealth, maybe, but just spread it out in the charities, right?
Right.
And they accused him of why. It makes no sense, but crazy.
This is the problem with big journalism. You got the little guys.
Capital J journalism.
J journalism. I mean, they take one little itsy bitsy spider type of story and they blow it up into something, you know, that is just completely irrelevant and unproportionate to the actual story. And then it comes back to bite them in the butt.
Okay.
Boston Globe.
I got a hypothetical hot take. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. Why is the Boston Globe running a hit piece on Tom Brady?
They're a failing newspaper.
Like maybe a New York newspaper would do that.
Yeah.
But the Boston paper?
Like the New York Daily News doing that or something like that.
Hold on. Actually, I think I might answer my question. Failing Boston Globe needs headlines, right? They got a ton of attention from the story.
Yeah. But I don't think anyone's going to be reading any more of their articles now.
Yeah, right.
Well, but is any publicity bad publicity?
Right, exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Especially for them.
So they figured we're going to get a ton of publicity with this story. Let's just run it. See what happens. Yeah, it got a negative reaction, but...
But hey, now I've heard of the Boston Globe again.
But they're talking about it.
I mean, what competition do they have in Boston for another newspaper?
Barstool Sports.
It's kind of like ESPN. Honestly, this sounds like the type of story that you'd get from He Who Shall Not Be Named.
Yes, definitely. all our award-winning listeners know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Moving on.
He Who Shall Not Be Named.
Flan, your Jerry of the Week.
This is a good one. This is great. There's a picture that surfaced. Jim Harbaugh meets the Pope. I don't know if it was at the Vatican. It was probably at the Vatican. But so Jim Harbaugh, coach of the Michigan football team, meets the Pope, and then he gives him Jordans and a Michigan helmet. He gives the Pope.
What's the Pope going to do with a nice pair of J's and
I mean,
Michigan
he's got to look fresh.
True. Pope Francis is a pretty cool Pope, I must say.
Possibly the
you
coolest.
Must say.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the most hip.
Yeah, definitely.
He's got it. He's not like all the old school, like super boring old guys. He's got it going on. He's definitely going to rock those Jordans around. Dinner after that night, definitely rock the J's.
Definitely. Maybe he'll throw on the helmet, get a couple picks. So my Jerry We're recording this Thursday. The draft hasn't happened yet. But my Jerry of the Week, it's going to be the Browns because we know they're going to screw up the draft like they do every year.
They have two picks, though, Mitch. They have two picks.
Exactly. That's going to make them. They're going to screw up two picks. That's going to make them.
Johnny Manziel gets drafted again.
Honestly, I love it.
It's going to be Myles Garrett and Mitchell Trubisky. That's my pick. Uh-huh. They get a linebacker and a quarterback. You can't mess that up. That's impossible.
The last quarterback they took, how'd that end up?
Fine. I think he's a good guy.
Johnny Manziel. You think Johnny Manziel's a good guy?
He's my role model.
Okay. moving on.
I have one question about the NFL draft. Yep. Has it always been televised?
Yeah.
Yeah, always. ESPN.
Every year.
And Roger Goodell.
But for how long?
Every year. Like
for
80s.
Every year. I saw clips of it from the 80s.
Is it not televised this year?
No, it is.
Oh. It is. I hate it. It's just a money-making scheme.
Yeah, I know. I don't like it either.
It's the type of thing that Roger Goodell would pound out for money.
And now they're... Hate it. I agree with you because now they're starting
Terrible.
To move the locations.
Right. It used to be in New York every year for like 30 years. Now it's in Chicago. It's in Philadelphia.
And then they sell tickets. Dan Katz made a good point.
You have one pick a day in every single different city. There are 32 NFL cities. You have one pick a day in each city.
There you go.
And you know we know Dan Katz, right?
Yep.
Award-winning listener. Good friend of the show. Good
friend of the program.
hot take. How come the draft hasn't been in Boston? And you know what?
It would be
wonder
Foxborough.
Why.
Roger Goodell.
Kind of makes you think.
I have to agree.
All right, moving on. Whitmore Award for Sportsman of the Week. We got some good ones here. Manny, let's start with you.
All right, so my Whitmore Award for Sportsman of the Week goes to Russell Westbrook. I don't know how many people saw, but he had a press conference this weekend with fellow teammate. I don't know his teammate's name. But it was some reporter asked him a question. And they were like, and they asked, how come the team isn't performing as, or is performing better when Russell Westbrook's off the court to Russell, or asked to his teammate? And Russell interjected and he said, and he went on this big rant about how it's not important to break up the team like that and how the reporter's being a jerk trying to break the team apart.
We a team.
And he said, yeah, we a team. And he's talked for a while about how important it is to for Russell to maintain that it doesn't matter what happens off the court between, or when he comes off the court, it matters that they win. And so I just think that's a real Whitman Award for Sportsman right there. I think
Whitmore.
That's Caleb's future business school, which is apparently the best in the nation.
Whitmore would really love this guy for standing up for the team and all they got instead of getting rid of this pinhead reporter they had out there.
Capital J Journo.
Yep.
Yeah. Another great presser this week. Whoever the coach of the Bulls.
Oh, yeah.
Fred Hoiberg.
The thing with Isaiah Thomas. Yeah. That was hilarious.
He claimed Isaiah Thomas carries every time he dribbles. So one of the Boston media guys yesterday after the game, or on Wednesday after the game, asked him, said, hey, was Isaiah Thomas carrying today? He goes, no. And he walks off the stage.
Boo.
So some good Capital J journalism there.
Would EEI be Capital J journalism?
Yeah, I believe
they
would.
So. WEEI?
They're credentialed. They're credentialed. Yeah.
Really?
I believe so. I mean, but they're just, they're great. They're salt of the earth guys.
They are. I like it. Yeah. I like them. Yeah. Flan, you got a good sportsman. Let's hear it.
Oh, yeah. This is a great sportsman. I wasn't watching the game, but I heard about it. Logan Kuchar on the Sharks.
Couture. Yep.
Couture. I can never say.
It's like Juicy Couture.
All right, Mr. California.
Logan Couture, friend of the show.
Logan Couture.
Friend of the show. Yep. Friend of the program.
Gets nailed with a puck. And do you guys know what game it was?
I think it was the last game of the regular season.
Last of the regular season?
Yeah, it wasn't in the playoffs. Because he played the whole playoffs
with a broken face.
With a broken face.
Yeah.
Missing teeth.
So, yeah, exactly. The guy is playing with just an absolutely broken face. This is a sportsman move. This is a classic hockey guy right here.
A little
this
bit of a hot
like Patrice Bergeron back whenever it was.
Playing with a broken leg.
No, broken ribs.
A broken ribs.
And I think punctured lung, too.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it was 2012 when they were...
Yeah.
But back when they were good.
Yeah. But, I mean, just sportsman move.
Yeah, I mean, it really shows how tough a hockey guy is. A real hockey guy, always tough. Flanny, not a hockey guy.
Yeah.
You don't have to, it's like you can play hockey but not be a hockey guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, Flanny, not a hockey guy.
Why don't we take it out back, Manny? All right? Take it outside
press
the studio.
Press Y, Flanny. Press Y.
Press Y.
Matt, let's hear your Sportsman of the Week.
So my Sportsman of the Week is, we're sticking with hockey.
Yep.
Colorado Avalanche. we're talking about Twitter a little bit, right? And so they're like the worst team in the league. They've been the worst team in the league for this whole year.
Move them back to Quebec, baby.
I agree. And so their Twitter started tweeting out every single bad stat they had all year, just like randomly. It looked like a normal tweet, but then you realize, oh my God. So here's an example. They had a picture of Carl Soderberg on there, Carl Soderberg, former Bruin. And it said, Carl Soderberg has scored 14 points in 80 games, period. Tweeted out.
Just real sportsman move.
They're just showing how bad their team is, trying to make people feel bad for them, or trying to rig the draft lottery, either one.
Hey, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. Keep the people happy, giving the people what they want.
Exactly.
Speaking of giving the people what they want, there was my Whitmore Award for Sports of the Week this week goes to Doris Burke. She was...
Cannot stand that lady.
I love Doris Burke.
What's wrong with Doris Burke?
She ruins
March Madness every year.
Listen to this. She doesn't do March Madness. She works for ESPN, March Madness to CBS.
Definitely is on the court for March Madness. Did she change to ESPN?
She's always been ESPN. All right, listen to this.
She's gone now.
Listen to this. You're going to love her after this. Listen. So there was at the Grizzlies-Spurs game, Peyton Manning was in attendance at the game in Memphis. The camera zoomed to him. Whatever guy announced she was working with says, and there's the GOAT, Peyton Manning, and Doris Burke interjects. She goes, whoa, 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 whoa. We're talking about the GOAT. We're talking about Tom Brady, not Peyton Manning.
That's my kind of woman right there, man. Love it.
Amen.
What's for the sudden shift, Manny?
Amen for Doris Burke showing this guy what's up. I can't believe he thought Peyton Manning was the GOAT. That's ridiculous.
How does that even, like, maybe I see, like, a 3 years ago, wherever, when he had the touchdown record, but now, like, it's not even close.
Count the rings.
Exactly.
Plus, Peyton Manning was broken when he was, like, 35.
Right.
You can't be the GOAT and be broken when you're 35. That's absurd.
Yeah. Tom Brady is 40-something, right? 40?
Yep.
And he's still kicking.
Yep.
Giselle's kicking, too.
All right, so moving on to our serious part of the show here. Kicking some casts. For Jack, Manny, and I's cast project for the IB Diploma, we're highlighting some of the good deeds sports does in society.
And the importance of sports in our wonderful society.
Right. Yeah. So, Manny, why didn't you kick us off?
So, I'm going to highlight the gym that I go to, Dynamic Strength and Conditioning in Nashville.
Humble brag
right here. Everyone should go to it. Great place. Matt Skeffington. Shout out Matt Skeffington. Great guy. But, I think it's important. They really, at a young age, they have these young kids groups that they bring in. They'll go to high school, elementary school gyms as well, and run programs at the gyms. And I think it's really important that not only is it important for young kids to get out and get exercise, but the camaraderie that they include in these groups. They're playing dodgeball. They're having fun. They're not worried about anything else. And I think that it really shows the kids how important to working together and the tools that they gain from these just simple events really goes a long way in their futures as future members of our society.
Right. Sports teaches a lot of good life lessons, and I think that's exactly what...
Especially starting at a young age.
Right.
Simple. You don't need to be involved in crazy sports at a young age. You just need to be involved.
Yeah. Right. My kick in some cast goes right along with that. The Challenger Baseball League over at the Little League Fields. I used to be involved with that. I know Matt used to be involved with it too. Basically, it's a program for special needs children that it lets them play baseball, and it's similar to like the
Unified.
Yeah, the Unified team and Bobcats. But it's just a great program. Like we said before, it's a great way to get people involved in the community, involved in sports. I mean, not only does it get the kids involved, but it also gets people volunteering. A lot of people make new friends. It's just a great program,
right.
Up and down.
Especially
great life values everywhere.
The kids that they're working with just wouldn't have the opportunity to really involve themselves in the community without the sports that we put on, or that is put on, sorry, by the Challenger Baseball League.
Right.
Yeah.
Another thing, too, with the Little League, I guess, that's related. The Bedford High School baseball team that I've been fortunate enough to be a part of the last 4 years puts on a clinic that helps out with the Little League every year. What that does is it really forms the bonds between society and really brings the community together. It doesn't matter that it's for baseball or anything.
Yeah.
It's just what sports are about. I think we've touched on this before in one of the other cast segments, that sports are really about bringing a community together and the intermingling with high school students and 12-year-olds.
It's the bridge, I think, that sports is able to allow that those relationships to thrive when you have sports as that bridge before you.
Exactly. All right, and with that, we'll be right back with the Weekend Wind-Up on Bedford 105.1. Welcome back to this week's edition of the Weekend Wind-Up. We're here with varsity baseball manager Caleb McDonald. Caleb, how are we today?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Mitch.
That's good. All right. So, Caleb, you are the manager of the varsity baseball team. First year managing anything, correct?
Yep.
So, down to Gately's level for once.
Yeah. That's all right. Nothing wrong with Gately. We love him sometimes.
Oh, I love Gately all the time.
Sometimes. Yeah. All right.
I'm so, higher up than Gately.
So, before we get into this little beef, let's talk about how it's going so far. You enjoying the season so far with the boys?
It's been great. It's a pleasure to be on the baseball team, championship caliber.
Pleasure to be on the baseball team.
Wait.
Rephrase this. Oh, no, you know what? We say you're turning into Patrick Gately. You're turning into Patrick Gately already, thinking you're on the baseball team. What's next? You stealing reps from the guys?
It's unbelievable. You think just because you have a jersey,
you're
on the
quitter
team.
Life,
you didn't
Jack.
Even try
doesn't,
out.
Doesn't
you
mean
try out for the
okay,
baseball team.
All right,
team.
Well, let's relax. Let's relax.
I'm disgusted.
Okay.
At best.
Plenty. So we're getting heated over in this corner. Let's talk about how your managerial
let's
career
just
went.
Let's get right into this.
Let's get right into it.
Get to the beef.
Are we going right now?
Right now. 2017 is the year of the manager, by the way.
Gets whipped by his girlfriend to go to guac night or this Mexican food night, and then all of a sudden. Oh, he just quits the baseball team.
No, see, the thing is, I have
he's choosing
a life.
Girls over his team.
I have a life other than managing and picking up after people like you. So
sports
I'm sorry,
should be the heart of your life. So, if you're a real baseball fan, you would be there for the team.
Academics.
If you were a real baseball manager, you would know it's not just picking up stuff. I really haven't picked up much this season.
Then you're not a very good manager.
Right?
I think commitment was the big issue here.
Yes.
I think...
No,
Flann-Marie takes a lot of time out of his
day. I had to make academics a priority. Coming down the stretch, my grades are not looking too good right now, so I had to step back.
Why do you call Flann-Marie academics?
It's a weird nickname for her.
I think that might be like the 25th time I've heard Caleb made that joke in the past week. Like, not even just for me, it's just everybody. It's amazing.
First time this week.
Okay. I never heard it before. I thought it was pretty good. So, Jack, so you quit. So, the day you quit managing the baseball team, you went golfing.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so how did your studying go that day?
Good, you know, as an aspiring golfer. It was great. I played pretty well. So, you know.
Okay. And all the history homework you've done since the day that you quit, what would Mr. O'Connor have to say about that?
I actually have done a lot of history homework. I'm not sure if you caught it, but... I handed in my final assessment on time. It's kind of a big deal.
Wow. That's a big step.
Thank
for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
What about your paper two that was due 2 months ago? Did you hand that one in yet?
Paper two.
Paper one. Paper two. You handed in it. You had a paper two like a month and a half late.
Oh, the English one?
No. The history one.
I think so.
Okay, boo.
All right. So back to baseball here. Let's bring it back to Caleb. Yeah. Caleb, how do you feel being the, I guess, only... real manager because Gailey thinks he's on the team.
It's a true honor.
Yeah,
to be honest.
I mean, we just heard it 10 minutes ago. Caleb thinks he's on the team too.
No. Well, I'm gonna defend Caleb here.
Thank you, Mitch.
So all right. So Patrick, he does all the drills with us. All right. He does everything. As if he was a part of the team. Caleb does not. He does what a manager should do.
He
sits on the bucket during BP.
Thank you, Mitch.
Brings the balls in to coach. Doesn't hit, doesn't take reps from any of the guys.
No complaining.
Nope. He sits and he does. Actually, one complaint about Caleb. During the games, he claimed he didn't want to do the scoreboard because it was too hard. And literally, all he had to do was push the buttons for a ball
I end up
strike.
Taking it.
And what have you. So, Caleb, when are we going to teach you how to do a book? Because that's what a manager should do.
Mitchell, you can teach him. You do it a lot.
All right, Matt.
Incoming.
If I were a mean guy, I would make a chirp about you not making the team. But since I'm a nice guy, I'm just going to not say anything.
Or we can just talk about how good Matt is at doing the book for the lacrosse ground balls.
Yeah, or we could do that.
Girls.
We'll save that for later, though.
It's a lot more than ground balls.
Caleb, so you and Patrick Gately, two managers on the team. What's up with first coach and first base? That's the manager's job. Patrick seems like
Brian
he has
Byfield,
this thing
baby.
Like, under wraps.
Nope.
I feel like he just goes out there whenever he wants to, and if he's feeling lazy, he doesn't want to stand for that long, maybe he'll sit on the bench.
He is lazy. He is a lazy guy.
And let you go out there.
But Coach Chapman actually confronted me about coaching first base.
Yeah.
And then captains, including Cooper, said, Caleb, you'll be coaching first. Patrick, you're on the books. And then that's when Patrick began to become a little butthurt.
All right, so we got to have Patrick in here to defend himself at some point.
I think we need a phone interview.
I think we do, too.
If we,
let's call
if
him
we
up. See if he answers.
We're going to call him up. We're going to give him a shot. He's in California right now, but we're going to call him up.
Time zones.
Oh, man.
Hello?
Hello, Patrick, you there?
Yes, I am.
Pat, what's going on?
Pete Gates.
Not too much. You know, I'm just chilling out on vacation in Cali. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. We have you on the line here. We got Caleb in the studio. Caleb's talking some trash. We wanted you to defend yourself.
Oh, Caleb, what are you saying, man?
Hey, we're talking about first base coach and how Chapman and the captains wanted Caleb to do it, but
Gately,
you do it.
Gately, he basically said you threw a tantrum when you found out that you weren't going to be
the
first base coach.
No such thing was said. Jack apparently has lost his brain on this 5e.
Word for word.
Well, Caleb, between me and you, we already knew Jack didn't have a brain.
Between me and you, this is going to all our listeners here.
Award-winning
listeners. Facts only.
So what really happened was is Chapman first approached Caleb about it, and then I approached Chapman. I was like, why would you give Caleb this job? He can barely move his arm, right? Tell the guys go to second. He doesn't know anything. He's a rookie, right? I need to show him the ropes. And so
I got another thing, Pat, real quick. I got another thing on that coaching first base. I was on first base one time. Humble brag. I made it to first base. And
was that Little League?
The pitcher was like to pick me off. And as a first base coach, as you know, Pat, they got to yell back every time the pitcher steps off, right?
Every single time.
Every single time. And Caleb was doing a subpar job of that. So I'm gonna defend you a little bit there.
But there's honestly no question of who should be first base close. Because if you just take a picture of Gately at first base and of Caleb at first base, Gately's swag level is on another level.
He looks like butter.
Another level.
That. He looks like butter.
Caleb does have the Jordans, though.
Mm-hmm.
Rocking the J's on his feet. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, those are so cool. Oh, my God. Wow. Caleb, you're so cool.
He doesn't have the earless helmet, though, and that's what really ties
the That's a good point. The earless helmet is very
sweaty. He's got me there.
I mean, I've heard a lot of compliments from girls about Gately's outfit at first base.
Yeah, that tight-fitting jersey, man, the ladies love it.
Chest hair popping, chain popping.
I think I'm going to get some new cleats. I'm going to get some Reebok Zig Techs. That way it looks
yeah.
No, real quick, you can't do cleats. If you're a first base coach or not playing, you need turfs.
Yeah, get some turfs.
Okay. You can't wear cleats or else you look like an absolute hardo.
All right, so I'll get the
Gately is a hardo.
Caleb, yeah, you know why I'm a hardo? Because I want to win a championship, and that's what this team needs.
Yep.
You know, so you have to show up and work hard each and every day.
Real quick.
I've been on the phone 24 hours a day while I'm here in this vacation at this conference that I'm at, and I'm working hard, making sure the guys are okay, making sure they're all stretched out. I call them every night.
Do you say you're stretching the guys from California? Yeah?
Gately, the only thing you did to hurt my vacation is you called me at 4 in the morning to wake me up, FaceTime me 6 times. So I don't know what your definition of helping out is, but your FaceTime ability this vacation is subpar.
You know, that's just dedication from a manager. He's doing what's not the most popular move sometimes. He's just trying to wake you up, you know, get you training or what are you doing?
Dedication from a manager?
What's
maybe you could take some lessons, Jack.
At least he didn't quit.
Man, that's no very true. But you have to get up early to win.
It's manager season.
You can't get up early to win. You can't win.
Pat, you're an athlete. Student athlete grind.
I'm out here on vacation, and I'm working out 2 hours a day.
Then you're going
two
to Angels games. You're taking
day.
Notes.
Why can't I ever see the results, though?
Ouch.
Manny, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to be a changed man. I have 3 more days out here. I'm going to lose 2 more pounds out here.
Wow.
That's good.
Gately, one more question for you. I hear you're doing really well with the ladies out there in California. What do you want to tell us about that?
Well, you know, when you just look as good as me in a suit, right, you can ask any of the girls that go to Bedford High School. Every day, I was the best dressed on the hockey team.
I don't think anybody.
And everyone could see you because all you do is sit up in the bleachers and take notes.
Oh, wow. Boom, man.
Actually, I did sit in the bleachers, but everyone could see me because I would sit with the students. So, yes, they could all see me. And I was always the best dressed. You know how many autographs they gave out this year, Manny?
How many?
36 autographs.
Now, were you handing out, like, Chase's autograph, or was it, like...
No, I wrote it on the girl's hand.
Oh, so you would take their hand from them while they weren't paying attention and write it on their hand.
Lenny, I don't think that's how that works.
I would watch out. You might want to stay away from police officers and you do that.
Geely, any compliments on the rug while you're in California?
Yeah.
Just a lot of tanning. So it's out a lot, making sure everyone can see it, making sure they know I'm here, and that it's in full rug season.
All right, well... Gator, we didn't really get to the manager beef, but that's all right. Thanks for calling in,
bud. Content.
We appreciate you taking time out of your vacation.
Gailey, we really do love you. Don't worry.
Give us some content.
Thank you, guys.
It was great.
I appreciate you.
Bye, Gailey.
All right, see you, Gailey.
Love you, Gator.
All right. Well, thanks to Gator for calling in there. That was great. Some interesting stories.
All the way from California.
All the way from California.
Many time zones away.
Yeah. It's like...
How many times
like 7 o'clock in the morning there, right, Caleb?
No, it's actually, like, October when they're applying to schools.
Well, it is 5:33 here, so it's going to be 2:33 over there.
All right, some good math. Good
Gator's
math.
Wow, right
there
now.
There you go.
Syracuse class of 21 math right there.
Attaboy Fryer.
All right, so Caleb, he basically said that Chapman... what did he even say about Chapman? Did he even, like, defend
himself? Never happened. He's making stuff up.
Well... No, Caleb, didn't you say that he went to Chapman on his own? Probably. So I think he kind of just confirmed that he went and whined to Chapman about it. Yeah.
So he was a little salty that he wasn't getting the time. All right, you know what? You know what I think it is with Gailey? Love the kid. He loves to be on the field, just no matter what. Like, doesn't matter what he's doing.
He loves the game.
Getting a fly ball, bringing somebody's glove out to him. Coaching first base, it doesn't matter. He just loves to be. He loves people. He loves the attention. That's what he likes.
He's for the guys.
He gets
like
the attention
in the
out on the field. All right, so we talked about these hypothetically. We're going into some hypotheticals here. If we were to ask Coach Chapman, who was the better manager,
Caleb?
Don't even let me finish.
Caleb.
Wow. All right, Caleb is the better manager than
Caleb.
I don't know. I don't really know Coach Chapman all that well, but I'm just gonna have to say I'm gonna guess it would be Patrick Gailey.
Because
Because he really has the heart of the team. He would do any. He would die for the team. Gailey would put his life on the line for this team. Caleb, on the other hand, he's too worried that Frankie would be sad that he didn't come home.
Also,
off air, you guys just did say I was the better manager, but now all of a sudden on air,
fake news right there. No one said
that. If you
that.
Look at the attendance record, I think Patrick Gailey has been at more practices if you include the tryouts.
Oh, I don't know. He's gone this week.
That is 100% wrong.
Caleb hasn't missed the game yet. Patrick's missed.
Wrong.
Patrick's missed
really?
The game.
Sad, fake news.
Caleb's been to more games than I've been to.
Yep.
Dedicated.
Hard
But the real talk, one of the most important aspects of a Twitter. Trainer is the stretching techniques.
Yeah,
and Caleb, I haven't seen a stretch
Caleb
person
doesn't
now.
Stretch anyone.
Well, Gailey
loosens the team up like nobody else.
Gator's got that stretching down. He's got a good trainer mentality, kind of. He does some good training, some good stretching.
Plantal training, too.
Yeah.
Whereas Caleb does, like, the
nothing.
Physical things. No. He does.
Caleb's the brute. He does all the
He brings seats. You bring seats. As a good manager should.
Gailey brings me snacks.
Hey, I brought Gailey also brings back seats. In the day when I was manager.
No, you're
back
not,
in
you
my
were never you're
manager.
Not even worth
the
discussion.
Boo!
No, I'm just saying, if you're going by seeds, I think I bought like three packs of seeds.
No.
Maybe
Caleb,
one TB.
Caleb has the right mentality of a manager. Mm. Yeah, whereas Patrick has the mentality he's on the team, Caleb has the mentality of a manager, and that's good.
Patrick
that's
Gailey
like.
Plays the fire beat in between innings to
he does. That's
get the
true.
Team into the right mindset.
That's a good point. Hold on.
Caleb doesn't do that.
Point about that. So I requested, as a walk-up song, She Thinks My Tractor's Sexy by Kenny Chesney. Great song.
Oh, boy. God, this
is
just terrible.
Boo. So the first time I got up, the first game, Patrick played it. I was like, great, Patrick. That was awesome. The next time I get up, he plays Knee Deep by Zach Brown Band, which is a great song. But I yelled at him after. I said, Gator, that's not my walk-up song. What the heck? He goes, I already played She Thinks My Tractor's Sexy. I can't play that again. I'm like, that's not how a walk-up song works. You play the same song every time the player comes up. That's how a walk-up song works. So, you know, I think he needs a little more manager training there. Maybe Caleb, you could teach him some lessons.
I'm just going to advocate for Caleb real quick, just because he's in the studio and he's my friend. And
can I just throw in?
I'm not done here, Flanny. I get it. You're going to forward and stuff. I'm not done here.
Best walk-up song in the MLB: Hanley Ramirez, Tunnel Vision, Kodak Black.
He used to have Down in the DM. That was pretty good.
See, he's just
a walk-up song king. Anyways, I was going to say Caleb. I think baseball knowledge for Caleb is way higher than Gately.
Wow.
IQ, knowledge about the game, knowledge about the history of the game.
Not even a hot take.
It's a known fact.
It's a cold take?
Cold take.
I beat Caleb in history of the Red Sox last night, trivia, wow. Just saying.
He did not.
Yeah.
We tied.
You didn't know how long the curse of the Bambino was. Boo!
That was your question.
Boo!
My question right also.
For both of us.
What's the curse? What's the number?
I gave you another question because you got smoked so bad.
Everyone quiet. Caleb, what's how many years?
86.
Oh, we got it. All right.
Yeah, because he heard me say it last night.
Ooh. All right. I respect it.
So let's just clear this up real quick. You guys might not know why there's beef in here. It might be because Flanny quit. It might be because Caleb's a hardo, but... what's the real reason, Flanny? Why don't you start us off here?
There's been some speculation lately. I don't know. I don't want to expose it.
You don't want to expose it?
It's a tough topic between me and Caleb.
It's a tough topic. Uh-oh. Caleb's just really good friends with you, and he wants to spend the next 4 years of his life with you.
Yeah.
As all good friends want to do.
Yeah, I would love that. Yeah, that'd be so much fun. Yeah.
Boo, Flanny.
Boo, Flanny.
No, I'm just kidding. I love Caleb. We, pretty much what happened was we both got into Syracuse and we both got into Providence. We almost ended up together at college, but, you know, just in a sad turn of events.
What was the leading factor in your decision to go to Fordham?
Breaking news. You heard it here first. Jack Flanagan's going to Fordham.
Is this a definite yes? Have you put the payment down yet?
Haven't put the payment
Breaking
down
news,
yet.
Mitch is going to Bowdoin.
That's true.
Maybe.
That too.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. As of right now.
As of now, I'm going to Bowdoin. That's correct. Bowdoin. Yep.
Made the decision 2:00 last night. I'm checking out. They've got a bunch of like super cool graduate programs. They've got like the 4+1 MBA, the 3+3 for the law. So I like to keep my options open, you know, when you want to get a professional degree.
Yep.
That's really nice to have. Plus, their business school is a top business school in the country.
Better than Syracuse.
even though Caleb disagrees because he thinks one ranking, you know, there you go.
How do you feel about going to school at JBQ?
Well,
Joseph Quintal. That's Joe Quintal, star pitcher for the Bedford High School team. He's pitching for Fordham.
Yeah.
Yep.
Love Q. it's going to be cool. I'll have a friend who's like a professional baseball player. Practically,
that's a little
generous.
Do you
think you'll be able to hang out with him, and he'll get you up with all the cool kids?
All right, I think Flan is going to have isn't going to have a problem with the cool kids. I think he'll hang out with the not cool kids.
Not all of us can be a jumbo with all those moon bats like Manny.
All right, well, we got a little off topic there, but Caleb, you're a great manager. We love you, buddy.
Thank you, Caleb. It's an honor.
The team thinks you're a great addition. Yes, Jack.
I just want to make one final apology. I'm sorry I've made your college decision so much tougher by not going to Syracuse.
Team Caleb.
Okay, all right. That didn't sound like much of an apology.
I forgot we were talking about Caleb being a manager until we brought it back in there. So thanks for coming on, Caleb. It was a good time. Hope to see you in the studio again soon.
First, I believe you're the first recurring guest, actually.
David Guimont.
Yeah, no, but guest. He was a host.
Thank you. It's been an honor. Second time around.
Remember, everybody, you can catch this show at 9 a.m. on the East Coast or back in September on the West Coast.
Well, welcome back to the Week in Windup here on Bedford 105.1. We are very lucky to have a very special guest on the line right now, Shane Curtin, Frisbee team captain. How are you doing?
I'm good, Mitch. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Pretty good. Yeah, no problem. Thanks for coming. So we understand there's a Frisbee League this year. First time in school history, right? School has a Frisbee team.
Yeah. So we've been working towards this for like all 4 years of high school so far. We got a league. We're playing against other teams. It's for real. Right. Not a joke.
So you play like other high schools. It's not an NHIA sport, but it kind of is.
Yeah. It's like it run through USA Ultimate, not really the school.
Okay.
So it'd be comparable to like a club sport at a college.
Yeah.
But it's sponsored by the school now.
We've gotten some help with funding from NOE. We've held a fundraiser just yesterday at Chipotle.
Nice. That's good. So, all right, so how's it going? How's the season going? How many games you played?
We played two so far in the regular season here, 2-0.
Nice.
Good
to hear it.
We beat Phillips Exeter just earlier this week. Beat him 13-7. Good game.
You beat Phillips Exeter.
Yeah. We got a game against Mohegan.
Taking down those prep school kids.
They recruit.
I love it.
Yeah, I feel like Phillips Exeter should have a pretty good ultimate team, right? I feel like that's something they do over
there.
That's
definitely
lots of moon bats there, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, they were pretty solid, but, you know, we took them down while missing some of our best guys. Feeling good about the team.
All right, so you talk about these best guys. Who would you say, besides yourself, of course, top three guys on the team, or girls, who would you say, if you had to name them?
The best player?
Hypothetically. Best players, hypothetically. Just
besides me, we're talking some of my other captains here. Ricky Salvatore,
Ricky, yep.
Jonathan Gabert.
Yep.
You know, Jack Heaps. I'm gonna throw him a little
bit. No way.
You know, I gotta keep team morale up. I can't just be throwing out discs to him right now.
Yep. All right.
What is Heaps?
Some girls on the team that are also pretty solid.
What are the girls on the team that are good?
They're pretty good, you know, for people that have never really played.
Is Ashley on the team?
Playing Corey LaBelle, my sister, Ashley Curtin. Jess O'Brien and Ella DiTomaso.
Nice.
Now, Shane, I've got a question.
What's up?
In baseball, you play a game. In tennis, you play a match. In golf, it's a round. What is it in Ultimate Frisbee?
I believe most of the time we go with a match.
Ooh, it's a match. Huh.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. Well,
I thought I would say game.
Match. Like, I mean, you can call it whatever. Pretty chilled out sport.
All right. Yeah. What's the official name? Is it Ultimate Frisbee or is it just Ultimate? Because I've heard both.
It's just Ultimate.
It is just Ultimate.
Really?
We're trying to get away from that F word, you know?
Yeah. And don't use the F word.
Yeah.
That's bad.
There's like Ultimate has actually been a pretty big thing in pop culture then. Isn't there a song called Ultimate? Right? Somebody wrote a song about Frisbee.
Jack
I don't know.
So in Frisbee, are there individual roles for the different players, or is it sort of like everyone gets out of the field and you do your own thing, or is it sort of like before the game starts, you know who's like, are there positions or not really?
There's kind of like positions where you play a zone defense, you got different positions for the zone defense that you got guys covering.
Oh,
like a deep
fancy.
Or a piston. Stuff like that.
Interesting.
On offense, not many like decisions going on. Like,
yeah,
you know, like
everybody touches the Frisbee. Yeah.
So
if I'm just trying to remember, did you guys play other schools last year too, even though you didn't have a formal league? Because
it was kind of like, you know, we'd like play some like exhibition games against some schools.
Yeah.
We played in like a small tournament like earlier in the fall this year that we took home undefeated, no big deal. But you know.
So if it's not NHIAA, then who is the, what's the organization that runs this?
It's through Seacoast Ultimate and USA Ultimate.
So hold on. Have you guys ever lost?
No. Undefeated.
Never lost. Wow.
Yeah.
Does Whitmore recognize you, or is this like?
Are you guys gonna get a plaque up in the hallway?
Will you guys be at Spring Sports Awards night?
I don't think so. I don't know if Whitmore's a big fan of us disc guys. But, you know,
he's not a big fan of hockey players.
Real quick, who says you can't,
welcome to the club.
Who says you can't just show up? Who says you can't just show up to Spring Sports Awards night?
I think you should.
We could just crack.
Why isn't he a fan of hockey players, Flanny?
We're not talking about hockey right now. That's irrelevant. Talking about Frisbee. I think you guys should 100% show up to Spring Sports Awards and just demand Sal Giazzella get up there and give a speech.
Yeah, we'll try and just demand that.
Question about equipment here. Is there equipment for Ultimate Frisbee? Or Ultimate, excuse me.
Hey, oh, and the F word. This
like,
is the public radio.
What do you do for shoes? Like, I know some people go barefoot. I don't know if that's like a thing for Ultimate or if it's just like a bunch of hippies playing Frisbee or what.
Play the club. But, you know, when we play in real games, we got to wear cleats.
Cleats?
Hardo.
Yeah. Like baseball cleats or like spikes or like molded cleats?
Soccer cleats, you know.
Okay. That's interesting. I wouldn't have guessed that.
So Shane, for your tournament coming up, am I going to have to go out and buy cleats in order to play in this puppy?
No. It's going to be real casual when it comes to my tournament.
So I can go barefoot.
Yeah, you can probably play barefoot.
You know Manny's going to go barefoot.
I'm going barefoot.
So we referenced this tournament, Shane. We referenced this tournament. This is your senior project, correct? You want to elaborate on this?
Yeah, we don't have an exact date yet, but okay. It's going to be a pretty chilled out tournament where I'm going to try and get as many people from the school to play.
Cool.
There's not a lot of time to organize a huge one across the state.
Right. But that's
so,
good.
Yeah, just... but we also have another tournament run by John Gabert for his senior project.
Okay.
That's
cool.
Saturday.
This Saturday, wow.
Yeah,
so that's today for all you listeners, Saturday listeners. That's today.
Yeah.
If it's probably about 9:20 something right now. I'm just gonna take a guess here. I don't have a clock in this room, so I can't tell. I'm just gonna say it's 9:20 in the morning.
It's not for another couple months on the West Coast.
Just remember, you got a frisbee tournament today. I'd head out support Shane.
And John. No, John is running it. This is John's.
Yeah, you don't have to go then.
Yeah.
So since you guys really come a long way with this with the ultimate team
not club.
I said team with the ultimate team. How much did Salji and Zeller help, or was it? I feel like a lot of it was student based that you guys sort of pushed your own team forward.
Hold on, real quick, Shane. Shane, real quick. I just want to say that Salji and Zeller are the coaches for all those listeners who may not know.
Sorry,
Salji is no longer.
That's rip in peace.
You know, seriously,
he still runs the club on Wednesdays and stuff. He likes us deep down, but Zeller is like our official.
Zeller's the coach. All right, got it.
Zeller's the man. Great guy.
Love Zeller.
They're both great
really
guys.
Set up by one of the team captains, Ricky Salvatore, who's done those, like, you know, the annoying emailing and all the stuff that goes into it.
Are there any rules? Like, you have to be passing four classes? Do you have to have a certain, you know, grade specifications?
Flaney's going to have to worry about that if he wants to play on this
that's
game.
True. No, I think...
Bang! That's why I asked.
I'm fine, so I'm pretty sure there's nothing going on with grades.
Now, Shane, does the Ultimate Team have managers by any chance?
I mean...
Provost might be interested.
Yeah, I'm interested, too.
John Gould, who is a spirit manager. He does a great job. But yeah, we have openings as a manager if people would like to apply.
I'm on the free agent list for managers right now. But,
All right, cool.
I mean, I can do both. I'm like Flanny. I manage my time pretty well. I can manage two teams at once.
Oh, okay, all right.
Shane, I got a question about how Ultimate Games work.
All right.
So is there, like you said, you won your game 13-7? Do you play to a certain score, or is it like time? Because when I play Ultimate, I just play to like 10 or something.
Yeah, in the league, we go to 13.
Oh, you go to 13, okay.
Halftime at 7.
That's a weird number.
Yeah, you know, it's a weird sport.
Wait, so there's no time?
No, you just first one to 13.
No time, wow. first one to 13.
How long does a frisbee game, or ultimate game, sorry, excuse me, how long does an ultimate game take?
It really depends, because if you go into overtime, it can go back and forth forever.
Oh, is it win by two?
Oh my God.
Yeah, win by two.
Wow.
So it's like comparable to cricket. Yeah, it's like the...
You could just keep going.
It's Western civilization's cricket.
Or baseball.
Yeah.
Well...
Baseball just keeps going until you get a winner.
Well, but... Yeah.
Every sport keeps going until you get a winner, but this one's sort of like...
No, soccer.
No.
Soccer's a boo.
Soccer just quit.
Yeah.
See, this is what we do here in America. We don't give no participation trophies out here no more. We're out here for the win and the victory. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah.
Ultimate, thanks, born and raised in America.
So, Matt, is what you're saying is that you're all about winning?
Is this going to be in reference to the Orioles hat I'm wearing
absolutely
right now?
Absolutely. Matt Provo.
Bad radio.
Bad radio. You can't see it, but this kid's got an Orioles cap on because he went to the game the other day. This kid changes week by week whoever's winning, who's up in the standings. One day he'll wear a Red Sox hat. The next day he'll be wearing like a
Blue Jays guy.
Yeah, that's what he says. And now he's got the Orioles cap on, especially after all the Red Sox beef. I don't know if we're going to get to that later in the show.
He also just showed me he's wearing a Toronto Raptors basketball shirt.
Wow.
So, yeah, so.
Just bandwagon city over there.
Honestly.
Definitely in the bandwagon.
Okay, the only reason I have this is because I went to the individual games. And
That doesn't mean
Matt,
anything.
Matt, you talk about how much you love America, but you're a huge Toronto sports fan. You want to talk about that for a minute?
Sorry, Shane.
Sorry, Shane.
I can be a sports fan of whatever I want. America gave me the choice to choose.
You're 100% right with that.
Yep. All right, Manny. Sorry about it.
So, all right, sounds like.
All right, so Shane, getting back to frisbee here. What's the schedule looking like? Who do you got on schedule? Who's looking like they're going to be pretty some tough games?
You know, our next game is this Sunday against Souhegan. You know, they've never beaten us before. Don't plan on letting.
Nobody's ever beaten you before.
That's true. But we played them the most. They're like kind of like a rival situation going on.
Okay, that's good.
Even though they're D2.
Yeah, D2. That's all right.
Yeah, wait, it happens.
D2 Frisbee?
Want to
no,
talk
D2
about...
rest of the sports, but okay. That's all right. Who else? Who would you say is the best other team in the state? Have you seen any of the other competition?
You know, we got a small glimpse at Timberlane in a tournament that we played in a while back.
Okay.
Earlier this fall. And Timberlane gave us a good fight, but we took them down per usual.
All right. And when is that game? Big Tilt against Timberlane? When is that?
That will be May 6th, Saturday.
Saturday, May 6th?
Sorry, there's a girls lacrosse game on May 6th at Stello Stadium, Bishop Gurdon, 6:30.
Oh, man. I'll be at that one.
Game instead.
Not. Man, we might have to start getting a student section.
Let's get
a disc student section.
No, at Ultimate matches.
No F words here.
I'll shave my head if we can get like 100 people there.
Seriously? Can we get that in writing, possibly on Twitter?
Does Weekend Windup
have permission to tweet that?
I don't know about that, but I'll do something. Happy my hair.
Shane is going to do something funky if 100 people are in attendance of the Timberlane Bedford
green dyed mohawk with the little spikes that go through it, not just like a little faux hawk, like spike mohawk.
Yeah.
How about this? Monday we have a press conference with the Weekend Windup crew and Shane,
yeah,
possibly other Ultimate captains, on what you guys are going to do if we get 100 fans at those games.
We announce it at some point.
Not only are we a radio show, but we're here for the community too.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know why we're not getting community service hours for this radio show. We would have thousands by now.
We are, but that's all right.
we are. I was unaware.
Captains will humiliate ourselves in some way if we get that many, probably.
Beautiful.
That'll be awesome. I can't wait. Playoffs, Shane. Are there playoffs in Ultimate?
We don't have them sorted out right now, but I'm sure there's going to be like kind of like an all-star team throughout New Hampshire.
Okay.
Out of the best from each team.
Oh,
you're going to be all-star team. You're going to be on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. It depends. You know, I got to have a good year.
Stop being so humble. Yes, you will be.
Yeah, don't be humble. All the cool kids aren't humble.
That's true. We'll see.
All right. So, Shane, since you're not a technically like a varsity team, Whitmore's not going to pay for the jerseys, right?
Yeah, it's a varsity team.
Oh, it is. So you did get the school to pay for the jerseys?
No, we didn't. We actually had to go through USA Ultimate to get like really cheap jerseys.
Okay.
We're talking about varsity team as in through the school, as in Whitmore says, he'll give you a varsity letter for it. Like,
oh, like a varsity letter. Oh, I would hope so. I mean, we had to cut some people. They know who they are.
There were cuts?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Intense.
Yeah, man, I'm surprised Jack Heaves made it through the cuts.
Yeah, I mean,
they felt bad for him and his kind.
Yeah.
All right, so back to the jerseys. So what do these jerseys look like? Are they just T-shirts?
Right now, we're rocking some red dry fits.
Nice. Dry fit, high quality. Ultimate. Yeah,
are they nice and tight fitting?
Yeah, they better be.
Show off the muscles,
you know, the ones that we got to show off.
Yeah, that's good.
Nice.
Yep.
It's intimidation. That's what it's all about.
Nothing wrong with a little myth.
Do you guys have a training regiment for your games or your matches to get yourself prepared or no?
We actually do. With as far as throwing goes, you know, we got to do like 50 throws backhand, 50 throws forehand, a couple scoovers, a couple hammers. You know,
light warmies, no big deal.
What? Yeah.
Light work. What's a white
work? Light work, I think you said.
Light work.
Yeah. Light work.
Bad radio.
Bad radio
Bad radio right there.
So Shane, how many games does a Frisbee season, Ultimate season, consist of? Yeah, boo me.
I think we're going out to about 7 regular
seasons. Oh, wow. All right, that's my thought.
Yeah, we got that scheduled right now, and there's probably more to come now and in the summer.
Nice. Sounds good. All right. Well, Shane, thanks for coming on the show, bud. We really appreciate it. We had a good time talking with you.
Thanks for having me.
Shane, any last words before you go?
You know, follow the Frisbee team on Twitter. Be at the games.
What's the handle? Give us the handle.
At BHS Ultimate.
At BHS Ultimate. All right. You heard the man. It's awesome to follow.
And that's free advertising right there.
Free ads.
And you can also look forward to hearing members of the BHS Ultimate team in studio in the Weekend Windup in the upcoming weeks as they get towards the playoffs.
Woo!
All right. Thanks again, Shane. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Shane.
See you guys.
So that's it for this episode of the Weekend Windup on Bedford 105.1. If you haven't missed any of the show today or would just like to listen to a little more, Follow us on Instagram on @WeekendWindup. That's one word, @WeekendWindup. Or look us up on www.podbean.com on the 105.1 WBNH page. So thank you for listening. Tune in next week. And remember, Bedford,
stay classy.